Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Matthew's account, at least a portion of his account, of Jesus' trial before Pilate, from Matthew 27. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What then? Or what shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." And Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting. He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It's your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, just a little bit after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, the Apostle Peter preached a sermon in Jerusalem. In his sermon, he said a couple of remarkable things. From Acts 3, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go." Amazing. First, Peter makes it perfectly clear. He accused them of being part of the effort to get rid of Jesus. Yes, they're accusing. They're part of the crowd. But he also states explicitly that Pontius Pilate had decided in his mind not to have Jesus crucified, but rather to release him. I don't know if you realized that before or not. Now, Pilate did a lot of things on Good Friday. There is one thing that he did not do. He did not do what he had in mind intended to do. Instead of letting Jesus go, which is what his intention was, he rather handed him over to Jesus' enemies to have their way with Jesus. And Pilate will forever be remembered for that, because by doing so, he sentenced the author of life to death. We wonder, what happened? How does he not do what he's got in mind to do? Where did he go wrong? Wouldn't it be great if we could find out what switched things over in Pilate's mind? You might hope in the sermon that I would have some sort of insight that would give you, the psychological reason why Pilate didn't do what he had planned to do. If you're hoping for that, you'll be disappointed tonight. I can only guess what all Pilate was thinking and how he got to where he ended up. God knows what was in his heart. We can't. You and I can't read minds, but we can read the pages of the sacred scriptures All four Gospels give details about this trial, the most famous trial in all of history, where the king of the Jews stood before the governor of the Jews in Judea. Matthew is the only one that mentions the detail that we just got done reading. How Pilate tried to maintain his innocence through all of this. It wasn't really his reputation he was trying to protect, but rather he was trying to protect his position. He was trying to protect himself from going down. And so as he dipped his hands into that little bowl of water, Pilate was trying to wash his hands of self-preservation. That's what it was really all about. And all of it is so sad. We all acknowledge this. It never should have happened this way. And Pilate knew this. In fact, the scriptures give us four reasons from Pilate's own mouth why he did not want to have Jesus of Nazareth crucified. The first reason had to do with what Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't say anything as accusations were being lodged at him, one after another. He stood there silent. It all testified to Jesus' composure. That's what led him to remain silent. All the while, those accusations were being thrown about. Number two reason why Pilate knew he wanted to set Jesus free. It had to do with the peculiar way that Jesus spoke with Pilate when they were alone in the praetorium. Jesus said things like this, "My kingdom is not of this world. The reason I was born and came into the world was to testify to the truth. You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." No one speaks like that to a Roman governor. No one speaks like that, period. Pilate realized he was dealing with no ordinary human being. Reason number three why he knew he needed to let Jesus of Nazareth go. We just read it. His wife interrupts the proceedings and comes to him and says to him, "Dear husband, I've had a dream and it has been distressing this morning. Don't get involved with this man. Have nothing to do with this innocent and righteous man. You will regret it if you do." Reason number four why Pilate knew Jesus had to be released. Pilate was no dummy. He wasn't born yesterday. Pilate knew what the motives were for the Jewish leaders and why they were bringing them over to him. He knew that they were jealous of what Jesus had, a true popularity and following from the people of Judea and Israel. They were jealous. He could see that Jesus was no criminal. Still, Pilate recognized that with Jesus of Nazareth standing before his tribunal, Pilate had a politically hot potato in his hand. He had some ideas about what to do with that hot potato. Hand it to somebody else. First he says to the Jews, "You take him, you judge him." "Oh no, Pilate, you know we can't crucify him. It's not going to accomplish what we want." So that didn't work. "I'll send him. I'll send him to another ruler over the Jewish people. I'll send him to Herod." Herod will know what to do. Just a little bit later, Jesus came back once again. Pilate was running out of options. His last and his best chance was to make that Passover deal that had become customary. He proposed two men, this Jesus who is standing here, or to release a prisoner, a particularly disturbing and dangerous prisoner. I have no doubt that Pilate was thinking in his mind, this is a no-brainer. Anybody can see who's the person that should be released. But not now. Not this Good Friday. No. Pilate watches foolproof plan fall apart, and in astonishment, with open mouth, he must have asked himself, what am I to do with this Jesus who's standing in front of me? This one that you call the Messiah. Crowds in unified voice, crucify him. But what's he done? It doesn't matter. Crucify him. So what was Pilate to do in this pressure cooker moment? Once again, offer, there's nothing I find. I'm going to let him go. You are no friend of Caesar if you let him go. It was a real club. And they were making it clear. We will report to Caesar. We'll let him know once again that you're stirring us up and we'll win this time. You'll be kicked out of your club. It was either Jesus or it was him. And Pilate chose to protect himself and to try to suppose innocence. He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It's your responsibility. Pilate was the law of the land. Pilate was the only person who really could authorize an execution for Jesus. No matter how much he protested, no matter he tried to wash those hands of self-preservation, the guilt still stayed with him. And that's been pointed out for thousands of years now. Since before the time of Jerome in the 4th century, Christians back in those earlier days would recite from memory, Passus sub Pilato Pontio Pilato. They would go on to say, Crucifixus mortuus sepultus. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, put to death, and buried. There is no amount of water. There is no ceremonial ritual washing that Pilate could do to be able to clear his name. His hands had guilt on them. Pilate was not a Christian. He was a pagan. And by doing what he did, Pilate was protecting himself. He was making it clear that he was more important than any justice or any righteousness toward Jesus of Nazareth. And we shouldn't be surprised that an unbeliever would act like an unbeliever. What's really disturbing to us, though, is when people who know better, people who call themselves Christians, people who claim to walk in faith and trust in Jesus Christ will follow Pilate's example. We all know how we are within the walls of this sanctuary. Set apart from the rest of the world, we can sing God's praises. We can proclaim God's name and our allegiance to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh, but it's such a different story when we're outside of the confines of these protecting walls. Whether we're around some co-workers or around our classmates, we get together in our groups, our friendships, and many of them aren't Christians. It doesn't matter whether we see a Facebook post from one of our friends and it's very contrary to what God says in His Word, or whether they send an email chain to you condemning many things that you believe. They know what we believe. Whether they're just trying to get a reaction from us or they're genuinely trying to needle us, trying to make us look like fools. So often we say nothing. And we do that because we want to protect ourselves. We trade Jesus off for ourselves. On the last day, Pontius Pilate will have to answer for choosing himself over Jesus. Remember, he didn't believe in Jesus. He might be able to say that he had an excuse, but of course he didn't. But we are Christians. We live in allegiance to our Lord Jesus Christ. We claim to be his followers, so what can possibly be our excuse? What did Jesus say? Whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Shudder as you realize that those condemning words are aimed at us. Pilate didn't do what he could have and should have done on Good Friday. He was not the only one who didn't do what he could do on the stone pavement. He was not the only one who did not take action. Let's remember that Jesus also didn't do something. Jesus didn't do some things, and all praise belongs to him because of it. Let's remember everything Jesus do. He did not allow others to come and rescue and save him. Praise him for that. And Jesus did not stop his enemies from arresting him. Praise him for that. Jesus did not stop that crooked court from convicting him of murder. Praise him for that. Jesus did not send legions of angels to come down and stop the proceedings and put an end to those soldiers who were trying to haul Jesus away to be crucified. Praise Jesus that he would fulfill prophecy and that he would pay for the sins of the world. That he would allow his own life to be given up so that we do not have to worry about what will happen to us when we stand before the judgment seat. This evening we have been talking about the things that Pontius Pilate didn't do, but there was one thing that he did do that was good and right and appropriate. When he had Jesus crucified, he fastened to the cross what the Romans would call the Titulus, that inscription up above Jesus that put the charges before people for the dying man. And on that was written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." We don't know exactly why Pilate might have done that. We can guess, but he didn't say exactly. But we know it's true. And we believe that Jesus is a king, our king. And this is where we get to segue to Sunday's message. Come in for Palm Sunday and celebrate the truth that Jesus Christ is indeed our King, and a King that's different from every other one. He alone is a King who does not serve to protect himself. He serves to protect you, his people. He is worthy of our honor and of our adoration. So yes, come. Come on Sunday. And look at Jesus our King. And when you do that, you can stop using your hands and your mind to try to protect yourself from harm. Instead, let Jesus be your protection. You are so far better off with Him protecting you. Amen.